It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power this morning, y'all, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running the iPad for us, and our guest this morning is Pastor Kevin Akins.
Hey,
how are you
morning.
This morning?
I'm great. I am good. You're
Amen.
Good. Ready to go.
Glad you could come in for us
hey,
this morning.
You know what? Snap notice, snap ready, be ready, in season and out. That's
right?
What it's called. That's it.
We appreciate you, sir. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and it'll get posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Spain's Construction and Remodeling out of Weatherford, Oklahoma. Quality work by a company that has Christian values. If you would like to be on the wheel for the blessing book for the month of August, wow, it's already the 30th, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
The book for this month is It by Pastor Craig Rochelle.
Mm-hmm.
I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
Let's do it. Father God, we love you so very much. And Lord, our heart is open to you today. We pray that your word will just pierce into our lives today and change us. Lord, I pray so often that you would move me from where I am to where you want me to be. God, I'm not talking about a physical location. I'm talking about a spiritual level in your presence. So today, Lord, I say that prayer for all of those that are listening. Move us, Lord, from where we are to where you want us to be, because you never want us to stay the same. You created us to grow, and so, God, we want to grow in you. And we ask today that you give us that nourishment to grow even farther in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I like your title, Faith
hey,
Maintenance.
You know, I always try to come up with some kind of crazy title. We all need maintenance in our life. We all need maintenance on different things that we do. We're going to talk out of the book of Jude today, and the little letter of Jude. It's the last three pages right before Revelation. You know, it's that easy to find. I often like to make fun and say, turn with me, if you will, to chapter 2 in the book of Jude. And I'm like, no, there's not two chapters. There's only one. Only about 25 verses. And so we're going to look at the last part of that. We're going to look at the last part of Jude. But before I really get into where the scripture is and read the scripture to you today, I kind of want you to know what Jude was all about. Jude was actually, all of this letter is talking about how to fight or contend or do battle for your faith. He's actually referring to a church or to a group of people that are facing an apostasy. He can't get people to come to church. He can't get people to come to Bible study. He can't get people to come out. He can't get them to stay together and pray together. So he's really telling them, if you're not coming together with others of like precious faith, then you're probably listening to false preachers and false teachers that are carrying around. And he said, but you got to do what you got to do, but you got to fight for your faith. You see, the truth of God was being attacked even in the day of Jude, just like it is today. And folks, I got to tell you, from the pastor's standpoint and from my pastor's desk, I want to assure you that the truth of God is under attack, which it has been for a while, but it is greater now than I've ever seen it before. There are so many different things that are happening in the church world, not just the spiritual world, which, man, that's for another day and a whole nother sermon. But today, just thinking about our church, thinking about our people, thinking about those that sit beside us on the pew, we have a regular, routine, religious ritual set in order to where we attend church on our given place, and we sit in our assigned seats from heaven, and we go through our routine. But nothing sinks into our heart. Nothing changes our mind. And we just plateau off in our Christian walk. Because once we leave church, then we pay far more attention to family. We pay far more attention to our financial struggle. We pay far more attention to our physical health. We pay far more attention to all of the conflicts of life instead of to the spiritual walk with God. We have to fight for that. Being a Christian is easy. No, it's not. We have to fight to be a Christian. You have to fight to do what's right. You have to fight to be ready. You have to fight to be prepared. So Jude comes in and he puts it this way. He speaks to the believers and he says, listen, I want you to spiritually be in shape. I want you to focus on that. At the beginning of Jude's letter, he focuses on believers that have just common salvation. But then he feels towards the end, he feels more compelled to challenge them because these Christians begin in Jude's day. Now, it's Jude's day. They were Christians or called Christians. And Jude begins to tell the example of how, well, now they're saved and they use the grace of Jesus Christ for a freedom ticket to do whatever they want to do. And Jude's saying, wait a minute, you're Christians and you need to obey God. You're Christians and you still need to obey the law. You're walking underneath that grace and going, well, I'm saved, then I'm good to go. That's not necessarily always true. So Jude comes back and he begins to lay down the challenge in front of them. And he reminds them of this. And I wrote this down. He said, when people start listening to false prophets and following after their own selfish desire, then Jude will remind them of how God deals with those unbelieving people. And there's part of Jude where he says, I want you to remember how God dealt with Israel. And then I want you to remember how God dealt with disobedient angels. And then I want you to remember how God dealt with Sodom and Gomorrah. And then you look at all three of those areas and go, well, then how's God going to deal with you? If you fit in any one of those unbelieving, fallen angel, if you fit in any of those categories, you need to look out because God is still God and he's still truthful. But then Jude comes on, and I love this at the end. He comes in and he says, listen, the challenge is great. I get it. It's hard to be a Christian. It's a challenge to live for Christ. It's a challenge to be that way. I understand where people are coming from. It's a challenge to keep your temper in check. It's a challenge to keep your mind in check. It's a challenge to stay on board. It's a challenge to go to church anymore. It's a challenge to read your Bible. It's a challenge to have a daily devotional. It's a challenge to put that into your daily routine of things. But if you had a maintenance schedule, if you've got a maintenance schedule for your car, I don't know how you deal with it. I don't know if you do it or not. There's a lot of us out there. We've got that little sticker in our windshield. And that little sticker in our windshield tells me that I've got 1,000 more miles before I need to change the oil or start thinking about it. That little sticker in my windshield says, all right, I've got about another month and I need to think about changing the oil on my tire. I've got a maintenance schedule. That's me. But I've got a maintenance schedule in my glove compartment that says, okay, it's time to rotate the tires. And some people say, why do you rotate tires? Well, I get 65,000 miles out of my tires. Some people get 30 out of theirs. Why? Because I rotate them. Right? It's maintenance. It's better to do due diligence on maintenance than it is to wait for a rupture and then try to repair it. It's far cheaper to do maintenance than it is to do repair. Even on your house, changing the oil, the air filters in your house. That's so funny. I put a date on my air filters and then I walk by and I look at them and people go, why do you do that? And I'm going, because it's been about 6 months. I need to change those filters. It's been 8 months. I need to change those filters. 9 months, I have to change filter. You know, it goes on and on. But it's still a maintenance in there. It's a maintenance that has to happen. Why do we feel like, well, we need to maintenance the other things around? You need to maintenance your house. You need to maintenance your car. You need to maintenance things that are there. Why not maintenance our spiritual life? We maintenance our physical body. We take care of it. We brush our teeth. We comb our hair, we take a shower, hopefully. I mean, there's things that we do. We maintenance our own body, then why don't we maintenance our spiritual body? And this is where I want to go to today. So go with me, if you will, here in the book of Jude, and let's go down to verse 17. I want to start with verse 17, and it just begins kind of radical. And remember, Jude's gone through this whole conflict of people that have stepped away from church. It's called an apostasy. They've walked away. It's a great falling away. And any pastor that's listening to me today is probably nodding his head going, yep, we've seen it. We've seen it. They just don't come to church. If we could get everybody that goes to our church to come to church at one time, I'd have a full church. But the way that it is, it's just sporadic. This group comes, then that group comes. And that's just the way that it is right now. And I don't want people to fall away. Jude says this in verse 17. He says, but you, beloved, and I always teach this, where it says beloved right there, you can write the word believer in there, because that's who he's speaking to, is the beloved believers, those that follow him. He says, but you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. We would ask the question, is that not true even still today? And the answer would be yes, amen. That's still there. So he goes to verse 20 and look at this. Look what he says. But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith. Faith maintenance. Building yourself up in your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And look at this. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. And then I just throw this in because it's just the wrap up. This is what gets me so excited. This is my motivation of hyperness. So that's the way it is. Now to him who is able. Yes. And well, I don't know if you know who him is. I know who him is. If you don't know who him is, let me introduce you to Jesus. Jesus is him. And Jesus is the exactly what Jude's talking about. To him, to Jesus, who is able to keep you from stumbling. Really, we can live a life in this world that we don't keep stumbling and keep falling back and keep backsliding and keep giving in to sin and keep, yes. Well, how do I keep from stumbling? Maintenance. And I'll share with you. And look at this. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless. Wait a minute. How many times have we heard over and over, we're just sinners saved by grace? I got you. I'm with you. Yeah, but none of us are perfect, even myself. I'm not talking about perfection. But my Bible says that Jesus can present me faultless. How's that going to happen? It's called repentance. It's called maintenance. Here we go. Before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. He's going to present me faultless with his exceeding joy. Look at 25. To God our Savior, who alone is wise. That's right. He's the only one with wisdom. Be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Somebody say preach, because here I go. Man, that's just the way that it is. That's just the way that I'm talking about it. I read these passages. This is a common passage for me that I pick up and I read when I'm feeling defeated or when I feel like, man, I messed up. And I do. When I feel like I failed, when I feel like that didn't go the way I wanted it to, that didn't work out the way, then this is one of my go-to passages. And I'm not telling you to make it your go-to passage, but find you a place in the scripture that makes a difference to you. Go find your word that does something for you. This reminds me that God is so much greater than I am. This reminds me that Jesus has so much more power than I do. And no matter what my faults are, he will still present me faultless. I love that thought, but how do I maintain that? How do I stay in that category? How do I stay in that life with Christ? Let's go all the way back up to verse number 20, and we're going to begin at verse number 20, and I'm going to share with you three different things that Jude talks about when he refers to what real maintenance routine is and should be for a Christian's way of life. What is the routine maintenance for the faith in your life? What is the routine maintenance in our life to stay in the right place with God? Number one, the first routine maintenance for faith maintenance is praying in the Holy Spirit. Do not turn that machine off yet. You got to hear this. And so I am coming to you from a Pentecostal perspective and a Pentecostal point of view. And I know that that makes some people nervous. Please don't get nervous about it. I want to share this with an open heart. We all need the Holy Spirit. I don't care which church you go to or what label you put on yourself. If you got saved and you accepted Jesus Christ in your heart, then the Bible confirms it, that if Jesus came into your heart, then God overwhelmed your life. And if you've got Jesus in your heart and God overwhelming your life, then you have the Holy Spirit working for you inside of you. You have the Holy Spirit inside of you. And it is time to release that Holy Spirit and let Him be the power source that you need today. There is power in the Holy Spirit, power in depending on the Holy Spirit, power in knowing what the Holy Spirit is for you. There is a scripture in the Gospel of Luke where Luke is actually recording the words of Jesus, and Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's telling them in Luke chapter 12, there's going to be some hard times coming to you. There are going to be tough times. There's going to be times that you're going to be put on the spot, and you're going to be pressed and demanded to tell what you know about Christ. And then Jesus said, at that point, when they start putting you on the spot, you need to rely on the Holy Spirit. This is what he says in Luke 12:12. He said, for the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. In that moment, when you get to the place that, man, you're being called on, and this is what comes to my mind. And I look at this a little bit different than other people, but in my mindset, I believe we live in this spiritual realm. And I'm not trying to make that a crutch for anybody, but we live in a spiritual world with spiritual battles going on all the time. And we come into contact with individuals that we don't know. And involuntarily, on something beside of us, it's our spirit that's making witness with their spirit. It identifies with them. You need that in your life so that your Holy Spirit would say, ooh, that's an evil spirit. Don't get trapped in them. Don't get trapped with that. Don't get connected with that. Your Holy Spirit needs to make that connection that says, there's another Holy Spirit right there. Lift each other up, sharpen each other, be confident with each other, build each other. You got the same faith. It's okay. There's a Holy Spirit that does that. It's the Holy Spirit that also says, she needs prayer today. She's not saying anything, not a prayer request, but she needs prayer today. It's your Holy Spirit that says there's something special, something going on over here. That's the Holy Spirit we need to rely on. In that very hour, that Holy Spirit gives you that information. That's how you rely on that direction. How do you build your faith up? Listen to me. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Okay, so let's get back to that word praying and what we're talking about in praying. When Jude is referring to praying, he's referring to living that life in the Holy Spirit, a daily, a constant prayer. You'd have to go back to the beginning where he says, you got to pray continually. You got to pray always. You got to walk in it. You got to live in it. We are told to walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, love in the Spirit, talk in the Spirit, pray in the Spirit. You know what it is? It's having life in the Spirit. Don't do life without the Holy Spirit. If you're doing life without the Holy Spirit, you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Get out of there. Let that Holy Spirit bring to you and teach you in that very hour. I love that thought when Jesus says this, let the Holy Spirit teach you in that very hour. I don't know how everybody else looks at it. This is a personal opinion. I believe in my heart. It's just settled in my mind. I can do anything. That somebody else can teach me how to do. I don't have a whole lot of incentive to take off. If you threw me in an airplane today learning how to fly it, I'm thinking, we're going to crash. But if I had somebody in my ear saying, no, pull this handle back. No, raise this up. No, accelerate here. Do that. Whatever. I believe if somebody's there teaching me how to do it, I can do anything that somebody can teach me how to do. And I don't want to give up on that. I need the Holy Spirit to teach me things. Here's one of the most radical things that you need to understand. Praying in the Holy Spirit will take you into places where you've never been before. And when He takes you into a place where you've never been, you need Him to teach you the next step. Not just show you the next step, but teach you the next step. Because you've got to place your step right. You got to put the weight right. You got to have the motivation right. You have to have the modem to move forward right. There's so much that He needs to teach you in that next step. Teach you. And so moving forward for the cause of Christ, praying in the Holy Spirit. Let me give you another one. I love this one. In the book of Romans, chapter 8, verse 26, Romans 8:26, this is what it says. Likewise, the Spirit, and you have to kind of get before, you have to go read verse 20 through 25 to understand what likewise means. But he's talking about help. He's talking about something come along beside you. He's talking about something standing with you in those moments when you're about to fail, in those moments when you're about to cause fault, in those moments when you're just about to lose your temper. In those moments, listen, the Holy Spirit wants to come along beside you. And what does he want to do when he's beside you? He wants to help you in your weakness, in your weakness. We all have our weaknesses. But remember, this Jesus, him, he's going to present us faultless. How's he going to do that? By putting the Holy Spirit beside us on every day of our life. Look at this. Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weakness. Look, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. And that's a whole lot right there. And that's basically saying that we don't really know the full lining of that understanding of that situation, because we only see the narrow picture when God's looking at the broad picture. And we could be praying, God, stop that. Don't let that happen. Please don't let that go that way. But God up ahead is saying, no, that has to happen so that it'll be better in the long run. So the Holy Spirit steps in and says, listen, don't make those kind of rash judgments. It's the Holy Spirit that says, in your anger, do not make a decision. It's the Holy Spirit that says, when you're sleepy, don't make decisions. It's the Holy Spirit that says, you're in the wrong place. Get out of here. It's the Holy Spirit that says, stop that anger. Stop it. It's the Holy Spirit that says, don't say that. Don't say that. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Oh, church, come on now. This is the Spirit praying inside of you. If it's a groaning, it's a noise. It's a noise that's being made. You could go back to John chapter 16, and you could see that it's his words that are inside of you. It's him moving your voice box. It's him moving your lips. It's him moving your mind. This makes a lot of people uncomfortable. It's just scriptural. Don't try to get it into some kind of religious format or some kind of religious game. Just let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. And if you're praying, let him pray through you. Let him pray with your voice. Let him pray with your heart. Let him pray with your mind. It's that deep Holy Spirit that's praying in a way that you don't even understand where it's coming from. You don't understand what it means, but it's the Holy Spirit making that intercession. And now you're going, but Pastor, why do I have to do that? Please look at what Jude said in verse 20 and 21. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. Jude is saying, listen, believers, listen, beloved, to those of you who are serious about following Christ, there's a lot of false prophets that are out there. There's a lot of people that are jumping ship right now. There's a lot of people that just don't think it's real right now. There are so many people trying to prove the Bible to be wrong. There's so many people trying to prove its inaccuracy. There's so much coming against, and it's just not small information anymore. Used to, they'd write a book, and then they hope that book would publish about 1,000 copies. Today, they print it on YouTube and it goes viral, and 9 million people read it within 3 seconds. And the battle is on, greater than we've ever thought before. And Jude says, you need something more than just your own intellect of how to pray for this to be defeated. You've got to depend on praying in the Holy Spirit. I need you. The church needs you. Christ needs you. The body of Christ needs you to put away any old taught standard systems that you've ever thought along the lines of praying in the Holy Spirit. If you've accepted Christ, then you got God. If you got God, then you got the Holy Spirit. And if you've got the Holy Spirit in your way, in your format, what you're comfortable with, pray in the Holy Spirit, because that is your faith maintenance. The Holy Spirit will take you into places to where you go, I never knew this would happen. Faith is at work. Praying in the Holy Spirit will cause things to move like you didn't think could ever be moved. Faith maintenance. It makes you look back and say, that had to be God. That had to be God. I didn't even know what I was praying, but it came about. God answered that prayer. Man, and when God starts working miracles for you, that's when faith begins to rise up. That's what the faith maintenance is all about. If you're not praying in the Holy Spirit, then how are you seeing faith? How is God asking you to do something that you're uncomfortable doing? As long as you're doing everything that you're comfortable doing, then where's the faith in it? It's when the Holy Spirit starts pushing you to say, make it a routine maintenance in your life. Pray in the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit will cause an intercession that you don't even know how it is that you ought to pray. And God will cross your path today with something that's out of the ordinary and make you go, that's God. That's God. So first maintenance, praying in the Holy Spirit. Hope you got that. Second maintenance. Oh, I love it. I love what Jude says. Keeping yourself in the love of God. This just strikes me like a drill sergeant that says, who are you talking to, boy? I told you not to talk unless you're asked a question first. You know, it just reminds me of somebody that's saying, straighten up. Look at this. Keep yourself in the love of God. Keep yourself in this mindset. This is like a commandment. But yet I know that it's a maintenance statement. He's saying if you really want to build up your holy faith, then you got to keep yourself in the love of God. Now, if you talk about love from the Bible, from Scripture, most people, they're going to turn and they're going to go to 1 Corinthians 13, right? Which is a love chapter. And I think that's great. That's wonderful. But if you want some really a little bit deeper teaching, which that's pretty deep itself, Paul and Corinthians, that's pretty deep. But go to 1 John. And the whole book of 1 John is about love. It's so much. I'm going to take just a couple of scriptures out of 1 John, and I want you to hear this. I want you to hear how strong this is. Now, remember, I'm talking about faith maintenance. Faith maintenance is something that you got to stay on top of it. You can't let it pass. You can't let it fall apart. You can't let it drop behind. You can't get it overscheduled. You got to do this maintenance every day, or it's going to rot, or it's going to fall apart. It's not going to work. Keep this faith maintenance going. Do we need to pray now? Is this a good place? It's a good place right here. So